Today on Real Life Radio.
If you're not a Christian today, maybe you're watching right now, or maybe you're here right now and you're not a Christian, let me tell you something you don't know. God has been patient with you, but there's a day coming when God's going to shut the door of opportunity and will be too late for you. Don't let that happen to you.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Have you ever ignored a warning only to regret it later? What if the warnings we so easily brush aside are exactly what we need to live a life full of purpose and protection? What if instead of seeing warnings as obstacles or interruptions, what if we embrace them as the love and wisdom of a God who wants to protect us from destruction? How often do we dismiss the warnings in our lives because they challenge our comfort, our convenience, or our pride? In this month's featured resource called Words of Warning, Charles Spurgeon calls us to wake up to the seriousness of the spiritual battles we face every day.
Words of Warning. And listen to the subtitle, everyone, for those wavering between belief and unbelief. You need this book. Everyone needs this book. If you're struggling with belief and unbelief, get it.
Get Words of Warning by Charles Spurgeon for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues in a series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, and a message titled, Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 4. The Apostle Peter was, of course, a disciple of Jesus Christ who later became the leader of the first church. Peter's approach to Christianity was to love the way that Jesus loves, in both acts of kindness and in service toward others. You see, Jesus, in his very essence, is love. But just like in the days of Noah, sin is running rampant, and chaos and confusion is everywhere. But when we put our faith in Christ, His truth and His unconditional love will sustain us, even in the darkest of times. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that Jesus did so many amazing things for us. He came to earth, took our death sentence upon Himself on the cross, and He gave us immediate access to Himself through prayer. Now, with his message called Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We are in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 to 22, we are now in our fourth and final installment of this message regarding the fact, look what Jesus did. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you inhabit, as your Bible says, you do inhabit the praises of your people. We've worshiped you in song, we've worshiped you in giving, and we worship you in study, that we might be a people equipped, transformed, and ready to live our Christianity out, because it's the greatest life to live, truth and power. So Lord, please, please counter the tradition of church, counter, Lord, the Sunday gathering that's happened across this nation and around the world. We're asking you to actually, I'm asking you to invade this service. That, Lord, that you might just cause this time to be anointed by your Holy Spirit. We pray now in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. And again, we are in the closing arguments of a four-part message entitled, See What Jesus Christ Did. We're inviting you to take a look to see what Jesus Christ, in fact, has done. That's Peter's argument. He's encouraging the church that is actually on the run throughout Asia Minor and that part of the ancient world, predominantly the region of Turkey today and Eastern Europe. He's writing to them because they're under persecution. They've lost their families. They've lost their jobs. They've lost their homes. They've lost everything about their worldly identity because when they accepted Christ, they were ostracized and they became known as the diaspora. Those that were no longer really of this world. They had come to Christ by faith and now they're on the run. And so in doing this, church, we've really slowly unpacked these several verses and today we'll end it. But before we get into the closing arguments, you probably picked up on it a moment ago. You've You've heard a couple of key words, if you got it or not, key words like through. We need to see this today. We'll see it. Through water, through resurrection. What does this mean? And you're going to hear, as you did a moment ago, the word baptism, or to be baptized. And what is this baptism? Now, I'm going to let this out of the bag now so you can be comfortable for the rest of the morning. And I mean this sincerely. I know that by talking to many of you, that the vast majority of this church in all three services are heavily Catholic. I don't know if you know that or not. We have one of the largest Catholic churches just a mile and a half from here, St. Paul's. And how I know about St. Paul's is because there are many Catholics who attend this church who told me they get their Bible study here, but they go to their church, they call it, at St. Paul's. I get that as you've been brought up. I have to say this publicly for you. Understand something. If you're Catholic today or you've had a Catholic upbringing, you need to pay close attention to today's message. If you have been brought up in a faith or a religion or even a cult that teaches baptism requirement for salvation, you need to listen to today carefully and take notes, because this issue of baptism that is mentioned here has led many to misrepresent the Bible, to poorly interpret the Bible, and to be confused. And God's word was never given to confuse anybody. We get confused when we approach the Bible with a predetermined lens. We look at the Bible and we speak into the Bible instead of the Bible speaking into us. So I want you to know I'm communicating this challenge in love, and I'm going to ask you to sit still for the next 55 minutes and listen, because it could actually determine your eternal destination. It's that important. Very quickly, where we've come from, because it's been about a month since we've been in this study because of the holidays and some of the other issues regarding what Jesus Christ has done for us, what he did. We looked in verse 18 as the fact that what he did is amazing. According to the Bible, what Christ has done is amazing in an infinite amount of ways. But we saw three things regarding verse 18 that the Bible teaches us, that it's Jesus Christ who took your death sentence and mine upon himself by going to the cross. He died for you. If you believe in him or not, he still died for you. In fact, that's how you wind up in hell, being justified being in hell, because he died for you, but you never accepted his salvation. It's that rejection, the very thing that could save you, it's the rejection of it that causes you to wind up having a Christless eternity. God bought the ticket and you threw it in his face. Christ died for you. He died for me. And he took that death sentence upon himself. Secondly, we saw that he brings, really by new life, he brings us into his presence. Jesus paved the way that you and I, imagine, you and I have immediate and continuous access into the presence of God in prayer and in fellowship as what the Bible calls a born-again believer, John chapter 3. And then the third thing we saw is that he lives forever regarding our redemption. He lives forever regarding our redemption. And we'll kind of end today with that same type of argument, because that doctrine is repeated. The second thing we saw, and that was last time in our study, is verses 19 to 20, is the fact that what Jesus did is that he confirmed the scriptures to us. And you remember this, we got into some very interesting passages of scripture that revealed and spoke about very serious supernatural events in the angelic world. Does anybody remember that? Okay, five of you do? Great. We studied that at depth. If you weren't here, you ought to go and check it out online. And the fact that he confirmed to us the scriptures, and again, three things that way, by the fact that Jesus Christ is announcing, the Bible announces that his actions, by going to the cross and by being resurrected from the dead, condemned an unbelieving age, condemned an unbelieving world. And again, we studied that in detail. The other thing that we saw is that God, through Christ Jesus, patiently waited for them, By the way, how long did Moses, I get my theology now from Discovery Channel, that would be wrong. How long did Noah build the ark for? 120 years. The Bible says he built that ark, it took him 120 years, and during that time, the Bible says he preached righteousness to an unbelieving world. And God was patient. But then listen, remember, God's patience doesn't expire, but it comes to a dispensational conclusion. God says, well, you know, I'm still as patient as I ever been, but time's up, we're moving on. And that time's up was when God shut the door on the ark and that world was then condemned. But God was patient. By the way, God is patient with you. He's patient with me. And if you're not a Christian today, maybe you're watching right now, or maybe you're here right now and you're not a Christian, let me tell you something you don't know. God has been patient with you, but there's a day coming when God's going to shut the door of opportunity and it will be too late for you. Don't let that happen to you. But God is patient. And then we saw in the third argument regarding that is that he's faithful to fulfill his promises. We saw that in verse 20 in the opening verse. And its statement of verse 20, that he's faithful to provide through his promises. So church, here we go, diving into the third and final argument is verse 20 to 22, is this, is that he purchased, that is Christ, he purchased what you and I could never afford. So friends, listen up right now. According to the Bible, God provided salvation free to all who will believe. But free doesn't mean cheap. Free doesn't mean junk. You and I living in the Western world, and I think specifically California and specifically maybe Southern California, we've got this bizarre mindset that if something's free, it must be cheap. We've got this weird, twisted logic of things that if something's expensive, it must be great. And thus we are suckers for getting ripped off. Did you know that? Oh, how much? Whoa, nice. That's nice. How much was that? The bigger the price tag, the more worth the thing seems to have. The last thing you want to say is, oh, I got it for 10 bucks. Because in our crazy culture, it communicates that it's cheap. I've heard contractors say, oh man, when I have to go into certain areas, nobody's going to take my offer unless I kick up the price because they think it's cheap. Isn't that weird thinking? What's wrong with us? It's a bizarre thinking. So when somebody hears that the gospel is free, they think it's cheap. They think things like this. If the gospel's free, then I'll just do it myself. If the gospel's free, then, you know, I'll live my life. And then right at the end, I'll accept Jesus and whatever. It portrays a low value. No, listen, it's free because you and I could never afford it. That's why it's free. And you and I don't have the commerce or the economy to take anything of this world and to transfer it into a setting by which you and I can earn salvation. We try things like, hey God, I'll do this if you smile on it. Hey God, I'll do this if you let me have that. God does not barter. Friends, God does not go into business with you. No, the cross took the life of God. By God's design, he went to the cross. He died on the cross. The Bible says he rose again from the dead. Jesus died for your sins and mine, for all people. It's only the believer that benefits from what Christ did at the cross, but he died for all. This is vitally important.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And so today we look at this point of it, verses 20 to 21, and that is that Jesus Christ washed away your guilt as a believer. Will you please mark that down? As a Christian, believing and trusting in Jesus and walking with Jesus, one of the great things that he's done, which we could never buy, we could never afford in that work of salvation, is that Christ washed away our guilt. This is one of the fundamental truths of true Christianity. The real believer is now guilt-free. Now, having said that, let me say two things. Number one, you could be a wonderful lover of God, but you are still plagued with guilt. Guilt of the past. Guilt of what you used to be like. Guilt of things in your Christian life where you sinned and you're carrying this load. And you need to hear today that if you confess your sin, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Say amen. Amen. You and I, Christian, need that every day. Every day. This is the fellowship of the Christian. We need that every day. Did you know that you and I sin every day, even if we don't do anything? You know, just basically getting out of bed. Well, maybe even before we get out of bed, we sin. And you know, the greatest bulk of our sin is not what we do, but what we think. Did you know that? Your thought life. Even as a Christian, a thought could come into your head. You can entertain that thought for a couple of seconds or a few minutes, daydream about it, and then the Holy Spirit gets through to you. Hey, 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 he says, and you, what? That's not right. Oh my goodness, Lord, you're right. That's sin. Please forgive me. Do you understand that? You guys look so angelic, and I know you're not. You know what I'm talking about. Your thought life, you battle it constantly, do you not? Say yes. You fight. This is a true Christian life, constantly fighting and governing our thoughts and building fences around our thought life, constantly, but being bombarded, but fighting constantly these things. Now, what about the carnal Christian? The carnal Christian is somebody who, frankly, may be born again, but they keep entertaining sin in their lives. They just keep going back to it, like a dog back to vomit, like a pig back to the mire. They keep going back to it. And they're in this perpetual case or state of, oh God, I'm sorry. And then they keep tripping up. What is that? That is a life whereby they are not understanding that the power of the gospel has set you free from the power of the past and the power of sin. And I'm not even talking about the non-believer. I'm just talking about the carnal believer. It's a very terrible way to live because your life is unproductive, it's not fruitful, it's a burden, you're never happy, you're always under this heavy grief, and your guilt is weighing upon you. And that as well doesn't have to be. You need to experience the freedom. That's what we're going to be talking about here. How does that work? So he says in verse 20, starting there, when once the divine long-suffering in the days of Noah waited there, that while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight souls, were saved through water. Please mark that, everybody, especially the word saved and the word through. Saved through, he says, water. Verse 21, there is also an antitype. This is interesting. Watch this. Which now saves. Now, that's a bizarre statement you'll see in a moment. Which is baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. So first of all, Bible students, the word antitype is an interesting word. The word means, first of all, anti or anti is in place of or against. It can be interpreted two ways. Tupos, this word is type, typology, symbol, illustration. So antitupos is this word in the Greek that means Peter is saying, I'm going to teach you guys this symbol type picture. And he gets very elaborate, and we need to track it, especially those of you who think that you can get to heaven because you were baptized in water. This has nothing to do with that the way that you think it does. You say, well, Pastor, I was baptized as an infant. I'm in. No, you're not. Where's that in the Bible? Where's infant baptism in the Bible? You're not going to find it. You want to know why? Because the Bible says regarding baptism, you and I have to first believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But even before that, what does the Bible say? Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. So watch how this works. How can a baby repent of their sins and accept the Lord Jesus Christ when they're 6 months old? That doctrine was invented by man. You'll never find it in the Bible. You've got to willfully repent of your wrongdoing. Simply this, metanoia. God, I see now that how I've lived my life is a sin against you, and it put Jesus on the cross. Oh God, I'm sorry. and I ask you to forgive me. I trust Christ to be my Lord and Savior. In that moment, the Bible says you become, John chapter 3, born again, born of the Spirit, born anew. And we'll see in a moment that what happens is that that event leads to a public display. And that's vitally important to understand. All of this part of you and I having a good conscience toward God. But this antitype is this. It is a representative. It is a counterpart. It is a type or figure. Hosea chapter 12, by the way, in verse 10. You can write it down. It's not on the screen. Hosea 12:10 says that God has spoken to us by types and symbols and illustrations that we might understand more clearly what the prophets were saying. And then I want you to mark the word baptism. The word baptism means this, to sink down under. Listen, to go beneath. It's absolutely a word that means to be immersed. This is vital. You say, well, I was sprinkled. We're not talking about sprinkling. The word actually means, and I hope this, listen, track this, and it'll make more sense to you. The word means to go under completely as though you died and you were buried. And when you come back up, we'll see this more in a moment, that you are now alive. Okay? Important to remember that. The word means to be immersed or to be brought under or taken down under the surface. So having put that before you, watch how this comes together. Look back at verse 20. Just skip up a little bit, verse 20. It says, who formerly were disobedient, talking about those who died at the flood. When once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark being prepared, in which a few, that is eight souls, were saved through water. Listen, was Noah and his family saved by the water? Did Noah, I'll put it to you this way, did Noah and his family go under and get wet? No. They got in the ark and they rose above it and they went through. Are you with me? They never got wet. So now we know already Peter is teaching us something that is very deep and very insightful. Whatever Peter is talking about, he's using an antitype and he's using the fact that the ancient world of unbelief was swept away by a great flood. Only eight souls survived. Church, how did they survive the flood? The ark. It was the ark. They got in the boat, God shut the door, the rains and floods came, and away they went. And when the flood was over, they got out of the boat and a new life they lived. Are you with me? Peter, if he was here right now, he would say, right on. In Hebrew, he would say, right on. You need to remember, you need to approach that this way. That's why Peter's bringing it up. So, so important.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called, Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 4. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Pastor Jack, every once in a while I like to feature a listener letter. Mm-hmm. And I want you to do a shout out to Vonnie. Get this. Vonnie says, I stumbled upon Pastor Jack about 2 weeks ago and I wanted to shout with joy.
Oh.
She says, I'll be 92 in August.
Oh, wow.
And she says, I've lived in Brazil for the last 50 years. She says, I've had an adventure I would have never dreamed of as I serve God. Ooh, that's a topic for another day, isn't it? She says, I'm amazed at how Jack and Amir are filling some of the gaps in my life. The Lord has been using them to give me more hope. The world is crazy, but the Lord isn't. I'm going to have a t-shirt with that.
Wow.
She says, I'm thanking God for you. And if there's any way that I can help, she says, let me know. I'm here. Send me. Blessings to you. That's Vonnie.
Okay. First of all of us should be ashamed. Right? Come on. What's our excuse for not serving the Lord? Vonnie, at what was it? 92?
92. Yep.
God bless you, Vonnie. That's incredible. And you might even find it to be a little bit more of a fun insight to know that Amir, she's, by the way, friends, she's referring to Amir Serfate, the founder and president of Behold Israel. And you need to listen to Amir. He and I have been very, very close friends. We're almost going on 3 decades of being close friends. In fact, I'm going to be with Amir in a couple of days. But yeah, Vonnie, what an encouraging word that is. God bless you. And you know, you asked how can you be involved? Well, I'm going to take a wild guess and say that you already are, because there's probably a good chance that you pray for us. And that's the greatest thing you can do, is ask God to grant us His favor.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.